Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Heavenly Father, help us today. Don't have a lot of time, but help us to understand the scriptures and to see Jesus Christ, to see Jesus Christ as we study. And in his wonderful name we pray, amen. This passage here, John chapter 7, obviously we just read three verses, but this feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says that on the last day of that great feast, and we'll try to explain some of that in a minute, but he stood up, and with all his might, he cried, he shouted, he pleaded with the people. And he said, "If any man thirst in his soul, let him come to me and drink." The imagery here, first off, he's a Jew and he's speaking to Jews. To me, my mind goes three chapters back. I believe it's chapter 4, when Jesus must needs go to Samaria. And he met the woman at the well, and I preached on her a bunch. But she was thirsty in her soul. But she, at the end of the story, she was satisfied. What the world needs, and what each person in the world needs, is Jesus Christ in their soul. In the Old Testament, and actually, I'll make reference to that again, but as you read the Old Testament, you see the things of God, you see the work of God, you see the gospel sketched out in the different events and what have you. You see it sketched out. And at one point, after they came out of Egypt, they were in the desert. Could have been the Sinai Desert, I'm not sure. But we know what sand is. Everybody knows somebody that was in Afghanistan or Iraq or Kuwait or somewheres, Pakistan. They can tell you how hot and how dry and how miserable that part of the world is when it comes to comfort. But there was a rock. The people were thirsty. This is in Exodus chapter 17. Moses took his stick and smacked that big rock, and water came out, enough to satisfy 3.5 million people, plus their flocks and herds. Great mountain, that water came out. And it symbolizes Jesus. When he was smacked or smitten or struck on that cross, the Spirit came. Not immediately. The last few weeks we've been talking about it. The outpouring of the Spirit. And we talked about the indwelling of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he lifted up his voice and said, "Hey, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink." And the interpretation is right there in verse 39 of John 7, that Jesus was talking about the Spirit, that those that believe on him would receive. And it says the Holy Ghost was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And we went over that. We went over that last week, that Jesus had to die before the Spirit could be given. But this is the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Weeks. And all of those terms have meaning. But at the last, right before they were going to say amen and, "Hey, look, y'all go home," there was one more little thing, a drink offering for the Gentiles. In Tabernacles, the feast, it symbolizes the ingathering of the Jews after Jesus comes back. But the Lord couldn't help himself. He had to say something. He had to say something as they were talking about the Gentiles and pouring out this little drink of water or wine or whatever it was. There's a great urgency to win the lost before it's absolutely too late. There were three major feasts that all the Jews, all the males, whatever, were required to attend in Jerusalem. The first was Passover, and it had to do with salvation. We know that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The lamb that was slain, a lamb for a house, and again, everybody's seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. We have a basic idea, and I say this every time that we come to it, but that movie is about accurate, I suppose, if you take away the Hollywood stuff. But God's people went free from Egyptian bondage through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. And we know that that Lamb pictured Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist, our hero, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." This feast was in March or April, and often we mistakenly talk about Easter, which is not correct. But Easter supposedly talks of when Jesus rose from the dead. Well, Passover is about when he died. And again, 3 days later, rose from the dead. Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, which we'll see here today in Acts chapter 2. It gives us power to preach. Power to preach Jesus Christ, the things he did, the price he paid, his resurrection, and his soon return. Passover was a harvest of wheat, winter wheat, what have you, but Pentecost was a barley harvest. And it happened 7 weeks plus 1 day after Passover, and we place it about June on the calendar. Tabernacles, which talks about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that comes around in September, and it too is a harvest, the harvest of summer fruits, which would be dates, figs, grapes, things like that. But all of these mandatory feasts that the Jews had to attend in Jerusalem, all of these feasts are about the harvest. Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. God is saying, hey, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I don't want to go into detail. He's speaking of Christ and what would happen when he came. But Christ's inheritance are the Gentiles. Yes, Jesus came. He's the Savior of the Jews. He's King of the Jews. He said he didn't come but for the lost sheep of Israel. But his death, it counted for the Gentiles and not only the Jews. God chose Israel to place his name out of all the peoples of the earth. But Jesus is the light of the world, not just the light of the Jews. And God loves everyone. And Jesus died for everyone. To the Jew first, Paul said, but also to the Gentiles. And again, there's this urgency to gather in the harvest before it's too late. You can ask a farmer, whenever the stuff is ripe, if he doesn't go get it out of the fields, then it rots on the vine. You can't let the harvest spoil. And again, these feasts that came around every year were to remind the Jews, hey, we have to win the lost. We have to win the lost. We have to gather in the harvest before it's too late. Okay, so Passover, we understand that. Tabernacles, maybe we understand that. But today's lesson is about Pentecost. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. And the passage goes on, but we'll just do this part. All of the things in the Old Testament, they show us Christ. They foreshadow Christ. They prophesy of Jesus Christ. But Paul says, moreover, brethren, I wouldn't have that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And that talks about the Red Sea event. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat that same spiritual meat and drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, which I mentioned. And that rock was Christ. And in verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. We need to keep in mind that there's a judgment at the end, and we need to live right if we want to be pleasing to God. We went over Acts chapter 1 last time. John baptized with water, but Jesus said you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But in Acts chapter 2, our chapter for the day, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, or fulfilled, you understand that Passover was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. And tabernacles will be fulfilled when Jesus returns to the earth. Well, the Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled 50 days after Calvary. But it says that when that day, Pentecost, which means 50th, 50 days after Passover, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues is a sign that, hey, something happened. Tongues is a sign that the Spirit came from heaven, just as Jesus said. Just as he said. And this is the fulfillment of Pentecost. But remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, let's not forget those Gentiles that live in Nigeria, or South America, or wherever they happen to be. We've got to win the Gentiles before Jesus comes back. That's what Pentecost is about. The harvest, we've got to win the harvest. We've got to gather in lost souls. And again, these three major feasts, that's what they're about. The salvation of lost souls. But let's try to run through this chapter, hit the high points if we can. But the Spirit fell from heaven. It rested upon the disciples or apostles now, and they began to speak in foreign languages, languages that they had not learned. And this is a symbol. It's a symbol. Starting at verse 5, the next verse, and it's a few verses it talks about, I guess, through 11. It says that everybody that had come to this feast, they had obeyed God, and they came to the feast, and the Spirit fell from heaven. But it says in verse 5, that they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, faithful to God or whatever. These men tried to serve God as best they could, but they were really just living in Jerusalem for the feast. They traveled from wherever they were, like God said, hey, you got to go to Jerusalem for the feast. But they were from every nation under heaven. And it lists them, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and some were from Mesopotamia, some in Asia Minor, some in Egypt, in Libya, and even Rome. But it says in verse 11, these apostles, they're speaking in tongues. They're speaking Egyptian. They're speaking whatever the Medes spoke. And it says that they didn't know these languages, but were empowered to speak them. But it says in verse 11, again, Acts chapter 2, we do hear them speak in our tongues, in our native language back home. They're prophesying about the wonderful works of God. And again, this is all a symbol. These Jews, they were scattered wherever they happened to live, in Turkey or Asia Minor, whatever, wherever they were. They spoke Turkish or Egyptian or wherever they lived, that's what they spoke. And this is a symbol. Remember, these feasts are about the harvest. And these Jews, when the feast was over, they were going to go back home. But Peter, he stands up with the 11 in verse 14 and preaches the gospel. And they believe the gospel, these Jews that had come to the feast. And they were going to go back home into all of these countries. And they were going to tell the things that happened. And they would end up preaching the gospel in all of these countries. So, speaking in tongues is a symbol. It's a symbol of the harvest and the urgency of preaching the gospel in every corner of the world. Because the people of Peru, they must hear the gospel. The people in Outer Mongolia must hear the gospel. They must hear the gospel before it's too late. And I hope as we're studying today, we can get an understanding of God's plan. That all men are lost. As Paul said, that God concluded every one of us to be sinners and separated from God and lost and on our way to hell. Except that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all you got to do is believe on Jesus Christ and you can be saved. It's God's plan that that message go forth. And these three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, they show us the urgency of winning lost souls everywhere we can go. But Peter, it says he stood up with the 11 and he began to preach, and he quoted Joel, the prophet Joel. He talked about David, and it says he talked about a bunch of other stuff that's not written down. But Peter preached Christ from the Old Testament. And he made a point of saying that Jesus, he's the Messiah. He's the one that Isaiah talked about in chapter 53, or what have you. That Jesus, who y'all just crucified 7 weeks ago, he's Lord, and he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. But in verse 37 through 39, it says that they, when they heard, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted in their heart. And they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, hey, what do we do now? What do we do now? We've heard the gospel and God has convicted our heart. How do we respond? And Peter said, hey, y'all repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And we've seen that. We've studied John the Baptist now. This is part 56 in our never-ending study on John the Baptist. We've read how in, for instance, Matthew chapter 3, he confronted the Pharisees and said, hey, y'all got to repent. Y'all got to confess that you're sinners. And hey, be baptized as a sign that, hey, I want to go on with God. And when Jesus started his ministry, he did the same thing. He preached repentance. And he had his disciples baptize those that did. But last time we talked about the promise of the Father, the promise of the Spirit. And Peter said, hey, what y'all just saw a few minutes ago when the Spirit fell from heaven and it lit upon us, tongues of fire, and we spoke in whatever they speak in Crete, and you understood it? This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Spirit promised from heaven. And if you repent, and okay, y'all go get baptized, you too will be filled with the Spirit. And we talked about that last time. We mentioned the promise in Jeremiah chapter 31 and Ezekiel chapter 36. How that as we become Christians, we're born again and the Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts. What Jesus said when he stood up at that feast on the last day, the last thing they did during the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said, "Hey, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink." And what that woman at the well, what she found that Jesus was the answer. That living water that she found, it'll come to live in your soul too. But it says in verse 41 and 42, and again we're in Acts chapter 2, "Then they that gladly received his word," or what Peter preached, "they were baptized, and that day there were 3,000 people that got saved, gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And they continued in breaking of bread and in prayer." You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.